please welcome our host along with our very special guest, Robert Fairless.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to our second episode of Downtown Dropouts. I'm Chase.
I'm Braxton.
And I'm Joseph. And today with us, we got a special guest, Robert Fairless, everybody. Blue Code this year, DCI. He's the MSU band section leader, possibly the number one trumpet player in the entire world. Life group leader at our local Church of Fellowship. We're very excited to have Robert here. Thanks for being with us, Robert.
Dude, yeah, no problem. Thank you guys for having me out. It's a great pleasure to be on the very famous Downtown Dropouts podcast here on a Friday afternoon. So, thank you guys. Ready to get after it.
Glad you're here.
Yeah. Well, let's start off. Kind of, we introduced you, but I think you could probably introduce yourself a little bit better. Go ahead. Just say what you think, man.
Yeah, so I marched the Blue Coats this year, which is a drum corps. And for, you know, people that aren't a big fan of marching band, I have no idea what drum corps even is. Basically, the best way I can describe it is it's kind of like high school marching band, but on steroids. Around 165 the people on one football field at a time. It's over the summer. I was there 14 hours a day in rehearsal, 7 days a week. So super intense marching band, basically. Professional activity that I don't get paid for, which sucks. Instead, I have to pay a lot of money, which is fine. I had the pleasure this year of marching the number one drum corps. We just won, got first place with the Blue Coats. And I was a soloist, a trumpet soloist, which is super fun. So that's what I do with the Blue Coats. And then I'm also one of the trumpet section leaders here at Missouri State for the marching band, a jazz trumpet player. That's mainly what I do, playing around the city of Springfield at random bars or other venues, clubs and all that stuff. So yeah, trumpet's kind of my main thing, but then I do a lot of stuff at church. I'm one of the life group leaders, one of the student leaders at Fellowship Bible Church with our student ministry. And I do a lot of other stuff there, and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a little bit about me.
Dude, thanks for introducing yourself, Robert, in case we couldn't do it that well.
So should we just start with the Blue Coats then?
Yeah.
Jump into that a little bit?
Yeah,
so we'll just go in, like, tell us how you got started, like the tryout process or whatever, and how you ended up getting into it.
Cool, yeah, so my first exposure to the Blue Coats was back probably in 2018, 2019, when I was in high school. Their only other show that won was back in 2016. It was a show called Downside Up, and it was probably one of the most influential drum corps shows of recent time, for sure. And I saw that on YouTube or something, and it got me hooked into drum corps and ultimately the Blue Coats. And so a couple years ago, in the fall of, I want to say, 22, another one of my friends asked me to audition with him because he had already marched in a different group. He said, man, I want to audition for the Blue Coats this year. And I said, all right, I'll join you. Why not? I'd never marched drum corps before. I'd been a marching band for a couple years. But I started at a camp in Texas. It was my first ever drum corps audition camp, and I got contracted at that camp. And ever since then, I've been a part of the Blue Coats. The tryout process itself is pretty simple to any other professional tryout and or audition, depending on what you're doing. I go in for a weekend, I audition for both the visual component and the musical component of marching band. I got scored based on how I did out of 10 or so. I got a contract because my score was high enough to show the staff that I was ready to be given a performance contract. So that's kind of how I got started. And then this year was my second year coming back, and I just loved it so much last year that I wanted to come back for a second year, my final year, because with drum corps, you have an age out of 21 years old. So if you're 22, if you turn 22 in the summer, you're fine. But if you're 22 before the season starts, you can't march. So this year being my last year since I'm 21, it was nice to be able to march the Blue Coats because it was just a fantastic performance opportunity for me.
Where's the coolest place you've ever been with the Blue Coats?
It's a good question. I would say, well, this year we kind of traveled around the east half of the country. On one of our off days, we were at the Mall of America, which was really cool because I've never been there before. I'd say that was really cool. I think my favorite spot, though, out of both years, probably would have to be, I'm going to say Washington, D.C., for sure.
Why is that?
The city itself is very walkable, and being around with a bunch of drum corps kids was super fun. Being in a big city with a bunch of college students that's just going to hang out and have fun was really cool. And so kind of having that break of not doing marching band for a little bit was great. So, I mean, D.C. is a cool place, too, just to hang out. So I'd definitely say D.C. is probably my favorite.
So did you get to play in D.C. somewhere?
No.
Or you just there to travel?
We were just there kind of as like an off day in between competitions. Like the day before, I think we were in Baltimore.
Gotcha.
And then the next day we were supposed to be in like Ohio or something. So we just kind of stopped in D.C. for a little bit of vacay sort of vibe.
Nice.
Yeah, DC's got to be better, especially when you know you're going to Ohio.
Yeah, it happens.
I remember even in my marching season, we would all huddle up in the gym and our band teacher would like make us watch old Blue Coats. Like things just like, it's so inspirational almost because like they're literally perfect. When you think of down to the wire, 100% there, it's got to be the Blue Coats. Everyone's in line. Everyone's singing the same tune. It is borderline perfect.
Yeah.
I think Downside Up might be one of my favorite shows from the Blue Coats as well. Dude. But even like last year's show, what was it, Revelation?
Oh, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to look at this year's show, but I'm sure it was probably just as good as those. Like literally winning first in the nations. Crazy. What was this show's all about?
Yeah, so this show, it's a good question. This show was called Changes Everything. And the whole idea of the show was about a concept called entropy. And that's kind of just like another fancy word to say chaos. And so we had 3 to 4-ish movements in the show. The first one was about intellectual order, opposite of chaos sort of thing, just very in line. The second was more about physical entropy and kind of more exploring the physical aspect of chaos in life. And the third one was kind of this huge release of tension and emotion. That was built up from the first two. And then the fourth was just this huge explosion of joy after the big buildup. And so it was a lot of fun to be able to explore that emotionally and spiritually and chaotically. I mean, honestly, the theme this year was just having fun. Having fun being good.
Powerful.
So I'd say we did that.
So for our like non-band familiar audience members, what do you mean by, like when you describe these movements, what exactly goes into that process?
So the entire show concept is just, it's in of itself one big idea, and then they separate it up into smaller chunks so that it's more accessible to the audience members, because if you just play the same piece of music for 13 and a half minutes, which is the average length of a drum corps show, it'd get really boring.
Right.
And so we kind of have these different styles of musical selections that are separated into categories, and this year it just so happened that we had 4 different categories of styles of music, or in this case, movements. So the first one was it's called an opener, obviously, because it's the first one. And it's super high energy, a lot of loud notes and big chords. The second one, we move into a ballad, which was gorgeous, lush harmonies, and super like rhythmic, slow, sort of kind of ballady vibe. And then the third goes into this sort of vibey jazz swing type of thing, which is where I had my solo because I'm a jazz trumpet player. And then the fourth one was just this super bright, super joyful expression of music. So we had these 4 categories, and then we call them movements or scenes or parts. There's just different words to call them. And so,
I guess just show almost.
Yeah.
Around a concept. That's cool.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. We saw you at the game, so we have to ask a few questions about the game.
Yeah.
How it go? How it went?
What'd you think of it?
The home opener was definitely interesting. It was nice being in the evening because it wasn't so hot.
Yeah.
For sure.
But, you know, Missouri State played well, man. Jacardier going off, per usual, just running the football down the field. Probably one of my favorite running backs that I've seen on campus. Just being able to watch, especially Missouri State's offense, tackle Lindenwood is great, especially because I'm from the St. Charles area, which is where Lindenwood's at. And so being able to see my university beat Lindenwood by a couple touchdowns was pretty cool. But no, I think Missouri State played well. The game was fun and exciting. There was a lot of people there, seeing as that it was the home opener, and I think it was a great time. So.
Yeah, MSU beating Lindenwood 28-14.
Yeah,
it was a great game, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that offense was fireworks.
It was,
the defense was locked down. You couldn't get much more out of a football game than what you want.
Yeah.
Now I remember like going into like marching band in high school, mm-hmm. and being a part of the pep band and things like that. We would try and get in the other team's head most of the time.
Play
when they're playing the ball and like getting in trouble almost because of what we were doing, playing space notes in between so we could really mess with them, get in their head, like mess up the frequency going on everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys were you guys out there doing the same thing? Were you guys?
Yeah, I mean, since it's college, there's a little bit
probably way more strict.
Probably a little bit more strict on that.
Yeah, there's a little more rules from the athletic division side of what you can do and when you can make noise. There's a, you can make noise with, like, your voices. And so there's this old bit that I do sometimes. It's from a buddy of mine called Christian Clark. I haven't seen him in years, but he was a trumpet player my freshman year. And he had this thing where he would pick a player on the team that was in front of us, because we're on the visitor side. And he'd pick their number and be like, this guy smells like beef, but like extremely loud, just to get in their head. It normally never worked, but it was just funny. But sometimes, like, the stuff that'll actually work is bang a bunch of drums before the play happens. Most of the time, we don't play as horns because it's a little too loud, and then if we don't cut off at the right time, then we can get yelled at by the refs or some other athletic division employee, and which is not good. So we try to be safe with how we approach noise and getting the enemy's team's head. But
what is it like being on the field? Like, you get to go down there for halftime, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, dude, it's a blast. Especially being able to get on the field right after a really good first half performance by the Bears, dude. It's great to be able to kind of get the crowd back into it for the second half of the game, or even if the team's not doing so hot. Being able to pour a bunch of energy into the performance is nice, because then the crowd kind of has a little break from whatever they were just watching. But I would say it's a lot of fun getting out on the field and performing for halftime, for sure.
I didn't realize like how many people you guys have in that band. Yes. You guys take up the whole field, and I mean, you're there with the flags. Are you guys all in that together, doing the same thing?
Yeah, so the band separated into kind of three main parts. The winds, or like brass and woodwinds, kind of like two subcategories. Then you have percussion, which is front ensemble and battery. So you have like the drums and snares on the move. Then you have the marimbas and vibes and all that in the front. Then you have color guard. The musicians is everyone except for the color guard. And the color guard is, like you said, like the flag. Sometimes they have wooden rifles and like fake swords called sabers. And yeah, all of us kind of go to rehearsal together. We all just put on this one production. So yeah, all of us are involved in the same marching band, so to speak. So even if the color guard isn't in the band, they are still part of the marching band.
Gotcha. So. And then, like, of course, because I don't know, how many people are part of this band?
It's over 300. I don't know the exact number, but if I had to take a guess, probably 340.
Yeah. So I bet it's almost impossible to kind of all get together and practice, kind of like on your own different things. So you guys kind of have sectionals going on in some sense. Like, what does that look like for you with your schedule and things like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, it's kind of a lot, because the marching band rehearses 5 days a week.
Right.
Which is a huge time commitment, and then we're all asked to host sectionals at least once a week. The trumpets are going to start doing it twice a week, Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, which is a huge time commitment, but at the end of the day, it's what makes us better. And so normally what sectionals look like is we'll take about 30 to 45 minutes after a rehearsal's over for the trumpets on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'll work on either visuals, depending on what day it is, which is like kind of our marching or other choreography. And then Thursday we'll work on music. So whatever musical selections we're working on for the rehearsal that week is what we'll be focused on in sections. We kind of just run stuff and make things better.
So, great. Nice. Yeah. And then I guess we'll get into your exterior life here.
Good, of course.
Outside of the plane. Well, I guess like kind of... What?
You good? Go ahead.
Oh, my.
Keep going. You got it. Keep going.
It's like outside of like playing like competitively and more on like the chill plane, like you go into gigs, mm-hmm. don't you? Like with jazz, like where did that start? Why are we doing it? And
That's a good question. So I've been a trumpet player since about the fourth grade, and this is my senior year of college. So I've been at it for a while. But in high school, I kind of made the transition from being a concert band to jazz band. And then once I got into college, I was like, man, I want to stick with this jazz thing because it's way more fun. And so the first gig I had, I think, was, man, I have to remember, it was a while ago. I want to say the first time I got paid to play in public was with Springfield's Missouri Jazz Orchestra, or Mojo. And it's like a 17, 18 piece big band ran by the old director of jazz studies at Missouri State. His name's Randy Hamm. He's retired now. But I think that was my first one, which was great, because I had three other trumpet players next to me that had been doing it for a while. But that's kind of how I got started, because I knew the guy that led it, being my old former jazz director, I suppose. And then ever since then, I made connections with the trumpet players around town, and then every time they needed a sub for a gig that they could make, they would call me and say, hey man, can you play this? I said, oh, sure. And then over time, I've taken gigs from them just because they don't have time, kind of had my own thing. I might have a steady gig here soon, which would be really nice because it'll be like a job. But yeah, I just kind of play around Springfield every chance I get. I kind of just started my sophomore year playing one time at a Blue Room Comedy Club.
You got called up.
Yeah.
Called up.
Called up from the minors.
No, you hit a home
into the majors.
Yeah, league, yeah.
Yeah, so, speaking of baseball.
Of course.
We just went to the Springfield Cardinals game last night.
Yeah.
Tough loss.
Semifinals going down 9-5. Well. 9-5.
We'll play the final game tonight.
Yeah.
At Hammonds Field. Oh, yeah. So our question, we asked fans around the stadium, and we got to ask you, what would your walkout song be if you're on the Springfield Cardinals going into game 3 tonight?
Man.
What are you playing at the plate?
Going into game 3, having lost last night, Man, I'd have to go with something high energy, and I think for me that song would be Brooklyn by Youngblood, which is a brass band, and it's super high energy, super hype. It's one of my favorites.
Such. All instrumental?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. I'll have to listen to that. I'm not familiar.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Youngblood.
Yeah, Youngblood.
I thought we were going into like No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No Sleep Till.
I would play that at the plate.
They're a super hip brass band. And they have a lot of really high energy, cool stuff.
So what type of music do you listen to? Like, do you listen to a lot of different bands? Like when you...
It's a good question.
On your own?
If you ask anyone that knows me, most of the time you'll find me listening to jazz. People like Miles Davis, okay. Chet Baker, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, a bunch of just old jazz records from the 50s and 60s. But if it's not that, it's like Lawrence or Jacob Collier or some other kind of like soul pop people.
So you wouldn't say you listen to Young Thug?
No.
Kendrick Lamar, okay. Travis
Or Scott. Kendrick or Kanye or like The Weeknd or, yeah, not a whole lot of any more popular stuff. So,
dang.
Yeah. I know it's kind of a blow to some people. But,
no,
I'm a jazz musician, so I listen to jazz all the time just so I can get better and understand the art form.
Makes
just
like sense. It, so.
Yeah, so...
Gotta live the life form to be the life form.
Exactly.
What's a good Springfield moment you got?
Dude, good Springfield moment.
Yeah.
I mean...
Funny. Funniest Springfield moment you got.
Man, I've been here for 4 years, and I haven't had any too crazy experiences. I will say, though, one of the more interesting moments that I've had here actually didn't happen too long ago. I was out playing at Archie's Lounge on Glenstone and Grand. And the thing about... I'll preface this by saying... Drum corps makes you lose a lot of weight and also muscle mass, and so I was at the gig, and it's a dive bar, and I had a drink or two, nothing serious. But I drive home and I'm like, man, I feel worse than I normally should. Definitely fine enough to drive. I wasn't like drunk or anything. But I go home and I'm on Fremont on Grand.
Yeah.
And I get pulled over by a cop because I'm in the middle lane looking at my phone. And so I'm sitting there.
The middle, like the turn lane?
No, so Fremont. Fremont on the north of Grand doesn't have a turn lane.
Okay.
But I'm like in the middle of Fremont. And I notice that and I go back to the right. And the cop pulls me over and he's like, hey man, I just pulled you over because you pulled in the middle lane. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I was on my phone. And he was like, okay, where are you at? And I told him I was at a gig at a bar, dumb idea. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just license registration, all that. And he does the whole drug test on me. I'm not inebriated at all. And he's like, all right, man, have a safe drive home. But I was just sitting there, I'm like, dude, if I just wasn't on my phone, I could have gotten home
no
20
ticket.
Minutes ago. No ticket, nothing.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
No warning. Okay. So it was definitely like a whoa moment. I was like, man, I'm getting pulled over for looking at my phone. Like, that's never happened. And then the funny part is that the same week, Chase was actually here when this happened.
I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, this is probably another funny moment, maybe one of the funniest moments I have in Springfield, is I'm driving Chase and Ethan, another one of our good buddies. We just had life group that night, and we're like, man, let's go to Kane's. So we hit up Kane's. They're in the bed of my truck. Because I'm pretty sure it's legal in Missouri to have people over the age of 18 in the bed of your truck.
For work reasons, it is.
For work purposes.
Well, let's just say life group is work, right?
Yeah, we're doing God's work.
Yeah,
that's what
exactly.
We're doing.
So anyways, so we're coming back from Kane's, and I'm on Grand, turning left onto National. And what I don't know is that my front left headlight is out. And there's a state trooper coming the other way on Grand. So I turn left. He cuts across all lanes of traffic to follow me. And Ethan goes... Robin, there's a state trooper behind you. Oh, okay, whatever. He said, no, he cut across every single lane to follow you. I said, what? You serious? So I'm just kind of casually going about, driving up Nashville. And then 20 seconds later, he turns on his lights for some reason. And I said, okay, whatever. And then I pull over the side of the road and like the turn lane on Cherry. So I'm like in front of the Domino's or something. He pulls me over, you know, he's out and he goes, hey man, I'm pulling you over today because your headlight's out. I said, oh, good. I thought you'd pull me over for the two guys in the bed of my truck.
Yeah, dude, we were sweating bullets back there. It was crazy.
But the funny part was is that he goes up to the front of the car, and he apparently bumps my headlight, and it turns on. And he goes, oh, I just bumped it. And it turned on. I said, okay, interesting. So I don't know if it was like a fuse loose or something. It's still off. So I don't know if he actually turned it on or anything. He goes, all right, I should let you off with a warning today. And I go, okay. And so lets me off with a warning and gives me back my license registration. I'm good to go. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Definitely thought it was the guys in the back of my truck.
Yeah, walks past me and Ethan's like, how are you boys doing? And we're like, doing really, really good, man. And like, he goes back to his car and we're like, dude, you have a great day. And he's like, dude, I'm coming back. And I was like, no, no. He's like, no, I just got to give him his license back.
Okay. I think part of it was that he had someone in the passenger seat of his vehicle that he was training.
Yeah.
So my idea is that he's like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. Because I mean, the headlight was off, but also, I don't know. Anyways. So that was definitely one of the funniest moments I've had in Springfield. And
where's your favorite place you've played at for a gig?
Oh, man, good question. I'd have to say, honestly, the Stardust Ballroom. Stardust is this venue located on way down Campbell, actually by Second Baptist. It's about 10 minutes south of campus. And it's this gorgeous ballroom. And there's this huge stage up there, cool lighting, really cool vibe. And I played there actually this week on Tuesday. It's not very popular for some reason. I think it's because it's so far away and there's no advertising about it. And I'm also pretty sure that the people that own it just dump money into it for some reason because they lose a whole lot of money. I don't know how they stay open. But anyways, it's definitely one of the vibiest spots I've ever been to. And there's like this huge dance floor, and they have huge events Saturday nights, and the big band Mojo will be there every third Tuesday of every month. So I'm excited to see how often I can play there and just hang out, play some cool music.
But, nice, yeah.
Really cool vibe.
Yeah, definitely a lot of cool places around Springfield to play, yeah, I would sure. think so. So we got a... some rapid fire questions for you.
Yeah, we got a list here that we made. First one, favorite movie?
Whew, that's a good question. This is rapid fire. I'm gonna have to go off the top of my head. I'm gonna say La La Land.
La La Land.
Oh, huge. What I can't wait. I cannot wait till we watch that movie.
It's a good one, for sure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song in that movie?
Probably the Mia and Sebastian theme, the blah 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 blah.
Okay. Yeah.
That was really good.
Okay, would you rather be considered unattractive or unfunny?
Oh, man. I'm gonna have to go with unfunny.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
So you'd rather be considered attractive?
Well, I mean, I think if you're attractive but not funny, you can get away with not being funny. You know, because you could be serious and attractive, and that's fine.
Okay.
You know? I could see the other side, that you could be funny and not as attractive.
Yeah.
And then people could see you attractive because you're funny.
Well, if you are funny, does that mean you're unattractive? Because you picked unattractive, right? Which means you're funny.
Yeah, one of the right.
But does that mean you're 100% not attractive, or you're just more funny?
I think you're just more funny than attractive. So if you're super funny, you could still be super hot.
That's
fair.
I don't know. You gotta I feel like you're using one tool for the other though. And then could you use your looks to be funny and use it for people to just laugh at you, or are you trying to make your way to be attractive by cracking them jokes?
Yeah.
So we know you love all things music.
Of course.
Music in the car. Are you a car singer?
Dude, depending on what I'm listening to, yeah. If there's the thing is, I listen to a lot of jazz, which is instrumental, so I'm not going to sing along to instrumental.
Do you sit there in the car going...
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'll scat to something.
He's scared with his knees.
Sir, do you know why I've stopped you? Trumpeting and driving.
Yeah, it could be a ticketable offense. No, but yeah, I'll sing in the car frequently.
What song? If you had one song to bell out in the car, what would it be?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go with probably Fly Me to the Moon.
Okay,
I could launch that song.
You like trumpet? You listen to Louis Armstrong? I mean, he's like one of the best trumpet players.
He is one of the best of all time. Honestly, I don't listen to him that frequently. Yeah, I listen to stuff a little bit newer than what he.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's from like the 30s, 40s, 50s. Right. I listen to stuff mainly later 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
So,
singing in the car.
Yeah.
What about the shower? I know you. How many guys do you live with?
That's a good question. I live with 7 other guys for a total of 8 currently. And 4 of us, it's split 4 and 4. So 4 on the bottom floor, 4 on the top floor. So I share a bathroom with three other guys. Honestly, singing in the shower, not really. It's more of kind of like my mental lab zone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So any music at all in the shower?
Honestly, no. I'm just kind of there, me and my thoughts.
Nice. I didn't say any other people in the shower.
Nah, just me and my thoughts.
He lives with three.
Me and eight other guys.
Seven other guys. Gotta save water somehow.
I, being in drum corps, I'm not unaccustomed to showering with.
And we're stopping
guys
there. With that
we'll put
topic.
That on pause.
Dog or cats?
Good question. You know, I will say that I'm much more of a dog person inherently. However, there's a neighbor about two houses down from me who has two cats, and one of them is this little gray cat with a bell on her collar. And one of the girls that lived in the house last year named her Jingles because of it. And so Jingles hangs out with me all the time when I'm on my porch drinking coffee or playing my trumpet, practicing, whatever, reading a book, whether it's the Bible or my Italian grammar book or another Christian book or Dune or whatever. She always hangs out with me. We hang out and do whatever. So I love cats, for sure. Big cat person. But if I had to pick, gotta be dogs.
All right. And final question real quick. What are your predictions for the Bears season? How are they looking this year?
You know, they're off to a hot start. But, you know, this is my senior year, so this will be my fourth season watching the Bears. And if I have to be honest, I don't think they're going to go crazy far. Just because of the performances in the past. Now, you know, this year they're looking good, which is cool. I don't think they've had any crazy competition. Could they make it to Missouri Valley Conference Finals if possible? I don't think they'll make it to NCAA, and I don't think it'll be that close just because of where we are in Division I. So I think they'll have a good season, but I definitely don't think it'll be anything record-breaking or history-making.
Yeah,
so.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Not a crazy season, but yeah. At least better than last.
Yeah, that's looking what I strong, think. So.
Yeah, so thank you, Robert.
Of course.
Joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, and absolutely. Go follow Robert.Fairless on Instagram.
Yeah. Excellent. We'll catch you guys on Tuesday for that week 3 recap.
Downtown dropouts ready to ignite. Sports and campus life, yeah, we take flight. From the court to the quad, we got you in sight. Mic check, 1, 2, let's light up the night. From the bleachers to the lecture halls, we capture it all, can't drop the ball. Every play, every fest, big or small. Downtown dropouts, heed the call. Dropping knowledge, we got the scoop. From the field to the lab, join the troop. Hit subscribe, stay wise, never snooze. Downtown dropouts, bringing you to...